You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, Gateway Church. It's so good to see you. I know that you can't be here with us, but let me tell you, we are connecting, we are online together, and we can still do church. Isn't that amazing? Well, this morning, I just believe that bitterness can be made sweet. Trouble can be restored. Deliverance can come to all of us. And the title of my message this morning, something that I really feel that the Holy Spirit is wanting to impart into your hearts, into your minds, into your families, into your children this morning, is that whatever has caused bitterness, whatever has come trouble to be in your heart, God wants to restore it to sweetness this morning. Bitterness made sweet by the Father's love this morning. Do you believe that, church? I believe it too. And we're going to come into agreement with the word this morning. The Holy Spirit is going to encounter you. The Father's love is going to come into your heart this morning, and you are going to sense the presence of the Lord God this morning. Amen. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 4, live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. There is love so great from God that provides a home of welcoming love that is non-judgmental, it's full of acceptance, and it's accompanied by great signs of affection from God. He sees you this morning as no one else sees you. He loved you long before you ever knew him. The Apostle Paul prays this incredible prayer for us, and we're going to just declare this into our homes, into our spirits this morning in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Are you excited to come around the word today? I know that this is a word, it's a now word from the Lord into your hearts and minds this morning. Paul prays this prayer, and he's praying it over us right now. Then Christ, Jesus Christ, will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, God this morning, two things straight up. God wants you to not only understand his love, to know about his love, but it's to experience. God wants you to experience his love this morning. God wants you to understand his love that identifies with you. No matter what place you find yourself in this morning, God identifies with you this day. Isaiah 63:2. This backs it up with scripture this morning. In all their affliction, he's talking about the children of Israel right now as they're wandering around in the desert. In all their affliction of Egypt, God was afflicted. Listen to this, church. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. And he lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. He had such great love for the people. He had such great love. And in their affliction, don't think that he was in heaven and just far away and distant. No, he was in their affliction. He felt their pain. Friends, this morning, do you find yourself in a place where you feel that God may be distant from what you're going through? I want to assure you this morning with the truth of the Word of God. He feels your pain. He knows your pain this morning, and his love identifies with your life this morning. We're going to come around this story of Exodus chapter 15, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It says in verse 22, the bitter waters of Marah. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They travelled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. Imagine families and children 3 days wandering in the desert with no water. I think about nursing mothers. I think about children who just in the dusty surroundings and space wanting water. You know, children looking up at their parents, mum, dad, I need water. There was so much emotion. There was just so much that they needed in this moment, not finding water. You know, they were away from the trauma of Egypt, but they still carried the memories and the pain. And bring that pain to a crisis point like no water after 3 days, you've got to admit that trauma is going to explode in anybody's life. Crisis points are like triggers. Crisis points are like triggers in our life that show us what is buried deep in our heart, the affliction that we carry at time. Verse 23, when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. Here they are in a desert. They want their thirst to be quenched, and here they see an oasis, but when they draw from the water is not fresh, it's stale, it's bitter. So they call this place Marah. This is a place of bitterness. I thought my thirst was going to be quenched, but now I find I'm just as thirsty as I've ever been. And so out of their heart rose the language of their bitterness, the language of their dismay in this situation, hope deferred in this moment. And so out of their mouth, they said, this is a place of bitterness. This is a place called Marah. You know, this was not the only reaction. Logically, they've could have had. God just brought them through the Red Sea. He parted the waters. They crossed over onto dry land. And new information was coming in. Hey, they were out of Egypt. And new information was coming in and it was challenging them. And even though they were out of Egypt, Egypt was still in their minds. But the process is key. And we need to understand, friends, today that the process takes time. The process of healing, the process of new information, challenging old information, it takes time. Don't be hard on yourself. Realize that God, through the Holy Spirit who counsels you, it's a process. Allow yourself to go through the process that takes time. You see, trauma needs to receive healing to create a whole new foundation, a whole new foundation of thinking, of understanding, where healthy relationships can be formed, trust can be formed, be built and cultivated. Verse 24, it says, then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink, Moses? What are we doing here? We're so thirsty. What are we going to drink? Can't you see my children? Can't you see my families? We had water back in Egypt. Why have we been led to the desert where there's no water? What are we going to drink? They demanded. See, reactions. We all know reactions, friends, today. Reactions in our present teaches us what we can look at to understand about what's going on the inside. What we need to process, not only spiritually, but physically and emotionally. It is here in this place that we learn who to cry out to, not to who to cry at. You see, the children of Israel, they were looking at existence, but Moses was looking at life. But in the midst of their pain, can I tell you this morning, can I encourage you this morning, in the midst of your pain, look to God, involve God in your pain. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you and he wants to provide for you this morning. He is your answer this morning. He is your sweetness and your goodness. And God was about to show the children of Israel exactly that. We see in Romans chapter 8, verses 15, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received, this is the spirit that he wanted the children of Israel to know personally. The spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 25, so Moses cried out to the Lord for help. Aren't you glad that Moses knew how to look up? So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. The bitterness was gone. The sweetness had risen up from the provision and the hand and the word of God that he brought to Moses. You know, God never ever rebuked the people for their accusations. He never ever rebuked the people for what they were saying, but he showed to them his heart of provision. We need to learn how to cry out to God in our pain. He will show us how to heal this morning. God's solution then is still God's solution today. Look up and see the hand of God. Look up and see the provision of God who wants to turn your bitterness to sweetness and bring provision to your family and life. Verse 26, it was there at Marah that the Lord said to them, I am the Lord who heals you. Do you know, this is the first time God had ever presented and revealed himself as a healer. I am the Lord who heals you. God wants you to understand his healing is for you to receive. He is God, your healer, this morning. Proverbs 4:20 tells us why his words are so important, so precious to our life, so meaningful to our affliction this morning. My son, pay attention to what I say. I'll turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Psalm 119 says this, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. You know, God wants to heal your bitterness and restore his sweetness to your life. He is God, your healer this morning. Do you find yourself in a place this morning where there is affliction that has rose within your heart? Maybe affliction from your past, maybe affliction in your present. God is your healer this morning. He wants to deliver. He wants to restore sweetness to your heart, to strengthen you this morning. You know, God brought them out of Egypt to bring them into his goodness. He didn't take them out of slavery to bring them into a slavery of thirst. God brought you out of your sickness to bring you into his wonderful health and healing this morning. Clean water sustains life. His sweetness towards them was unhindered. Their behavior and accusations didn't hinder God's goodness for your life, and it won't hinder God's goodness for your life. Come as you are this morning and let God be God and let him do what he does best. Let him heal your affliction. What God did was not common, for they were not a common people, and you are not a common people this morning. This was God's water, God's provision, and it is still as real today. His sweetness was never dependent on what they could do. It was dependent on who he already was. This is God's grace, his favor that we don't have to earn. It's undeserved, and his grace is there for you. Come as you are this morning. You don't have to change anything. Come as you are. Let him be the change. Let him be the sweetness. Let him be the healing in your life this morning. Just present yourself as a living sacrifice and say, God, today, heal my affliction. Bring sweetness where there has been trauma. Let your goodness be a vast supply like an oasis that I can drink from today. You see, healing is learning how to be strengthened. Lord, you're my healer. It's as simple as this. Lord, you're my healer. Lord, you're my sustenance, my sweetness, my living water that I will never thirst again. And I'm going to eat those words because they are sweeter than honey. John 4:14 puts it like this. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them. They will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. You see, in the wilderness, it was called a place of testing. They were being tested, and sometimes we can think, well, that seems so harsh. They've just come from slavery. They've just come from bondage. Can't we give them a break? But we need to understand that behind a testing is always a different meaning in the hands of God. We may call these tests, but what the word actually means is exercised. Their trust muscles are being challenged. Their trust relationship is being formed and cultivated. They needed strength for the promised land. They were walking from being owned to taking ownership for themselves, and they needed great strength. They needed to learn how to possess the land that God was giving them, that God was walking them into. They would have to learn how to look to God, to trust Him, and realize His incredible, affectionate love for them. They needed to see how to bring down the giants down for themselves from their relationship with God. God wanted to enrich them with strength for what they were walking into. C.S. Lewis says this incredible story that I want to share into your heart this morning. Imagine yourself as a living house. Imagine yourself as a house right now. And God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what He's doing. It even feels okay. He's getting the drain right, the drains right. He's stopping all the leaks in the roof and so on. And you knew those jobs. You knew they needed to be done. And so you're not surprised by what God's doing. But presently, He starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is God up to? God, what is it that you're doing in my house, in my heart, in my mind, in my life in this moment? You see, the explanation is that He is building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers and making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but He, my friend, today is building a palace in you. He intends to come in it and live in it Himself. Exodus 15 verses 27 says this: after leaving Merar, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs, not one spring anymore, 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And they camped there beside the water. It is here in this place, by all this sweetness, by all this protection, by all this healing that they were experiencing daily, God's goodness, daily God's supply, His protection, His goodness upon their life. And it was always in generous supply. This morning, you need to understand that God's generous supply is available to you. You have access into it. And it's as simple as this: God, show me where your healing is. God, you're my healer. God, you're my sweetness. God, you're my goodness. You know what you're doing? You're declaring His word. You're eating His word and you're speaking it over your affliction. He wants you not only to understand Him, but He wants you to experience Him in your daily life. Healing is learning how to drink living water. Healing is learning how to feed your heart. Jeremiah 15 verse 16 says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Feeding your heart with his words. Everyone knows how to feed their souls. Everybody knows how to comfort themselves. But do we understand the incredible power of what it means to feed your heart? We feed our hearts by eating his word, getting the word of God and digesting it and understanding it so it reveals our power, his power to our minds and to our hearts. His words that bring life so that his heart leads you. Did you hear that this morning? His heart can lead your mind. His heart can lead your mind, your will, and your emotions. That means goodness leads you. His sweetness leads you. His healing is with you every single day. So friends, this morning, what is on your heart? I know many things have been on my heart over the last couple of weeks. So really over the last couple of months, there has been things and issues that have been troubling my heart. What is on your heart this morning? Where do you find yourself in the position of your heart this morning? If you are struggling with bitterness this morning, you can believe that God will deliver sweetness into that heart this morning. If your heart is troubled this morning, you can believe this morning. You can have assurance and confidence that God is your peace. John 14, 27 says this about peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. The peace that God offers you is nothing like the world's peace. It's peace that surpasses all of our understanding. And don't we really desire that true peace this morning? When all we have is just information, don't we need the truth to be clarified to that information? God wants to be your road in your wilderness. He wants to be your stream in your desert this morning. You can have clarity because that's what God wants to do. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled this morning, friends. Once you have received Jesus into your heart, don't you feel the love of God this morning? Can't you just feel it embracing you and his affection wanting to come into your heart this morning? God is encountering you this morning. God is encountering his people. Once you have received Jesus into your heart, you have a brand new heart and you can trust the promptings of your heart because God dwells in you and he leads you from within. And don't worry, my friends, because his promptings will never, ever contradict his word. It will lead you to good success. Often you find that when you follow your inner promptings, it is actually God who has put in those desires in your mind and he has written them on your heart. Because God, friends, today God has given us a new heart because of Jesus Christ. He will write his desires on it. And as you fulfill, as you walk in his desires of your life, whatever you will do, you will prosper. Whatever you will do, come on families, come on mums, come on dads, whatever you will do, when you follow the promptings of Jesus Christ leading in your heart, you will succeed. You know, in this final story, a story that has gripped my heart, but has led me in the counsel of the Holy Spirit into what I believe is absolute truth and freedom. I believe that God is going to do the same for you in your heart. This is a story about a pastor. This is a story about a nun and how a nun finds incredible truth. It was late into the night when this pastor he'd been praying for all night at a meeting of healing, and he hears this knock on the door, and when he looks at the clock, it's 3 a.m. in the morning and he was so tired, but he got up to answer the door and this squeaky little voice said, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" He opened the door to find a 78-year-old nun standing there and she began to cry. "Sister, what can I do for you?" the pastor said. We found two stories in the hallway and her story, her life, unfolded and began. "I've never told anybody in my entire life this story," she said, "and it started when I was 5 years old. My father would come into me at night and terrible abuse would occur. He said it's what our family doctor said we should do. When I was 9, my father took everything from me physically. By the time I was 12, I knew of every kind of depravity that no child should know. Pastor, do you have any idea of the shame that I feel? Pastor, do you have any idea of the weight that I've been carrying and the turmoil in my heart and how dirty I feel? I live with so much hatred for my father and hatred of myself that I only go to communion when I know that I'm going to be missed." In the next few minutes, this pastor prayed with this nun for healing. Then I asked her if she would find a quiet place every morning, and for the next 30 days, would she sit down on a chair, close her eyes, open up her hands towards God and pray this prayer, pray this phrase over and over again. "Father God, I belong to you. Father God, I belong to you. Father God, I belong to you." Through her tears, she agreed, "Yes, Pastor, I'll do this." And the pastor received, in weeks to come, the most moving and poetic follow-up letters he had ever received in his whole life. This nun described the incredible healing that had taken place in her heart, the incredible affliction that had rose deep within. What had been secret since she was 12 years of age, now a 78-year-old woman, this affliction, this shame, this absolute depravity rose up, and she received the most incredible healing. Peace like she had never known before. Complete forgiveness of her father. She'd never known this peace in her 78 years of living. And she concluded her letter with these words. "A year ago," she said, "I would have signed this letter with my real name in religious life, Sister Mary Genevieve. But from now on, I sign it with, I am my daddy's little girl. I am my father's little girl." She had found God as her father. Bitterness had turned to sweetness. There was goodness like an endless supply. She was sitting by that oasis, my friends. She understood for the first time those palm trees of protection. She could feel the breeze of a loving, good father entering into her life for the first time. She had discovered God as her father. You know, I found myself asking God this question to myself this week. What words of you, God, can I speak over myself? You see the affliction in my life at the moment. You see the weight that I'm carrying and the burden that just feels so heavy. God, what are words that you can give into my heart that I can speak over my life? I'll do it for 28 days, God, or however long that you say, but lead me and show me and guide me to your goodness, to your supply. And in that afternoon, the answer came, and he gave me the words that I could say over my affliction, that I could speak to the weight that I was carrying, the heaviness and the trouble that was in my heart. And from the last week, I've just been saying these words over my heart and over my heart. I'm not having to muster up my own strength. I'm not doing this in my own strength, my friends. I'm doing this with the word of God. I eat the word of God. I declare it over that weight. You can declare the word of God over your trouble. And you know what will happen? He will deliver that bitterness. He will deliver that trouble. And there is an endless supply of his goodness that will bring deliverance into your situation. I believe God can do it this morning for your family, for your marriage, for your life this morning, and for mine too. What words can move this mountain, God, that we're facing? What words can heal my heart this morning? God wants to reveal those words to you. Will you come into that space where you just raise your hands to God and say, God, my Father, give me the words today that I can speak over that situation so that I can understand the reality of your healing power. So I can understand the real realization of your goodness and your sweetness that you want to pour like an endless supply over my life. I don't want my words to come from a bitter, hurt, untrusting heart. And I know you don't too. I want my words to come from my heart that sits at the oasis, drinks of the living water that will quench my thirst, and that knows the protection of my Father. He's my Father who I can trust on. He's my Father who I can rely on, and I've come to know Him in a very real way, and you can know Him in a very real way. Today, the words that you might speak over yourself might be simply, Father, reveal your heart to me. Father, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you as my Father. I don't know what that sounds like. I don't know what that experience is, but God, I'm just going to keep saying that over myself daily. God, reveal yourself as Father to me in my life. Let not your heart be troubled, friends. Let not your heart be troubled. God is your living water this morning. He is the one who turns the bitter water sweet. And He is the one who this morning, He wants you to know that He is your healer. What is on your heart this morning, friends? What is troubling your heart, your children's heart? What is on your heart this morning? And this is what we're doing. I've been saying them, those words that God gave me over my heart, over my emotions, over my situation, just repeating them every day. What am I doing? I'm feeding my heart. Father, I just pray this morning. We want to learn how to feed our hearts. We want to learn how to depend on you, to trust and rely and to have confidence in a God who's an endless supply of living water and protection. Father God, in that desert, their affliction was your affliction. You are not distant. You are an ever-present help in a time of need and trouble. And Father, with our hearts this morning, as your children, we come to you and we just tell you the trouble that is on our hearts, knowing that God, you already know, knowing that God, you already see, and God, you already have the solution. You have already made the way for our lives. So God, I pray, let your healing power come upon marriages. Let your healing power come upon our lives this morning. Show us where the oasis is. Show us what the word for our life that we can eat of it because it is sweeter than honey. Father God, reveal to us this morning that you are our Father. Let us know that. Let us know that in reality, not just in word. Father, reveal your hearts to us this morning. That you love us so much, that your provision is so great and your strength is so mighty that we don't have to do anything alone because Jesus, we are never alone with you. Amen. Amen. I know that God is bringing great healing to your lives and to your families, to your afflictions this morning because that's who God is. You see, when we do this, your heart becomes established. When you know that the only thing that qualifies you to receive God's blessing in faith is the finished work of Christ, your heart becomes established. Then you will walk without fear, without trouble swallowing you up. You will walk with full assurance that His blessings will become so real in your life. My friend, God wants your heart to be established this morning. Knowing that His righteousness, His healing, protection, and provision are yours, all paid for Jesus by the finished work at the cross. God's blessings are sure in your life because they are not dependent on your ability to keep his laws, but Jesus' perfect obedience. This morning, that's really the question for all of us, isn't it? You may not know Jesus. You may not have a relationship with this morning, but my question for all of us today is, can we receive what Jesus has so lovingly done for us? The sacrifice that he made upon the cross so that we could find life, and not life just in this world, for eternity, never to be separated from the love of our Father. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, my friends, today you will be saved. And just like we've been praying through this message, it's just as simple as that. Come as you are and say, God, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And Father, we believe in our hearts that God, you raised him from the dead. If you say that prayer this morning, you know what that means? It means that you're saved. It means that you have now access to a loving God who wants to give you a wonderful relationship with him. You will never know goodness like the goodness of God. You will never know peace like the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And so we're going to pray this prayer together today to invite Jesus into our hearts. And if you've done this for the first time, I want you to pray this prayer along with us all as a church. Can you bow your heads this morning and close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me? Today we say from our hearts, Jesus, you are Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised you from the dead. And because of Jesus, I am saved. You know, if you've prayed this prayer this morning, that's how easy it is. Come as you are, praying that prayer, you now have relationship with God, never to be separated from a Father's love. But we don't want to leave you there. We want to walk this journey with you. Just as God walked with the children of Israel to the promised land, teaching them and guiding them so that they knew everything that they had access to, we, the church, want to do the same with you, friends, this morning. And we want to walk this journey. So you can go to gc.org.au/first steps, where every resource will be made available to you. Somebody will be in contact with you. And we're just going to experience this incredible relationship with God together. Amen, church. Amen.